How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern with Brian Alvarez, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. It's beautiful here in New York. I don't know where you are. Wherever you are, I hope it's nice, too. A lot of wrestling to break down. A lot of things happening in the world of professional wrestling. I say that every week, but you know, for a very long time, it was just WWE results, some TNA, maybe some New Japan, and that was it. That's all people spoke about. And now, 500 promotions, 500 things happening. Nothing is what it was, which is fun. I like that. Today on the show, we'll talk about Jeff Cobb and his new name. And it's not Jefferton Cobberton, as my good friend Rich has been praying that it would become. Nice accountant gimmick. Jefferton Cobberton, CPA. Didn't happen. Tiffany Stratton retained. Julia is on SmackDown. And also, the build to Double or Nothing. They've done a great job with this. Very interesting how they're building this. Also, Collision last night. Technical nightmare. A nice portion of the show never aired for the East Coast. We'll talk about that too. Also, I want to touch on Sabu. We really did not speak about it last week on the show. A lot of people spoken about it this week. A lot of great thoughts. A lot of comments. A lot of things that a lot of people did not consider regarding Sabu. Also, controversy about his passing and a lot of blame being put on Joey Janela. We'll talk about this and a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. I want to start with Sabu before we get into results and everything else happening. A lot of comments throughout the week regarding Sabu's passing. He passed away last Sunday, or news came out last Sunday regarding his passing. He had a match 3 weeks prior with Joey Janela. At spring break, WrestleMania weekend. It was his retirement match. If anybody watched that match, you know, it's not the Sabu of 30 years ago, and nor could it possibly ever be. This is a man that took such a beating on his body. He had a series of substance abuse issues. Just a hard life. He lived a really hard life. And doesn't take anything away from his abilities in the ring because he was an innovator. First time I saw Sabu probably was on a tape that my cousin that was a Marine brought over or had. I don't know how he got it. He had a tape. And it was whatever he was doing in Japan. I don't know. I can't even remember the promotion it was. I'm sure somebody in the chat will tell me. And I was looking at it. I'm like, wow, this guy is nuts. Very different one than what we were exposed to in 1994, 1995. I'm 10 years old. What kind of wrestling did I grow up watching? I watched Hulk Hogan. I watched The Ultimate Warrior. And then it transitioned into the new generation, which was, you know, Shawn Michaels, the Bret Harts. Everybody was, I mean, like an action figure. And here comes this lunatic. Really sprung everybody's interest in ECW. You know, his feud with Taz. I'm wearing a t-shirt right now. Barely legal t-shirt. His feud with Taz was legendary, really propelled Taz into being this unstoppable monster in that promotion. Just, and if anybody, if you have the time or you haven't heard it yet, go back and listen to Brian and Lance Storm from last week. Lance did a tremendous job speaking about the Sabu. This is a guy that he worked with. He knew well. Told a great story about how he would purposely, quote unquote, botch moves to stick it to the fans so they chant "you effed up," even if he didn't. Just a fascinating way of thinking, because generally wrestlers don't think about, let's make this look terrible and have the audience boo us. But, you know, he thought that way. But he also, Lance brought up the fact that very underappreciated when it comes to changing a generation of talent. of how people wrestled. Because when you watch Sabu wrestle, nobody wrestled like him. There was nobody that wrestled like him. Obviously, his inspirations were his uncle, the Sheik, the original Sheik. He had Japanese influence. He had Lucha Libre influence. He had hardcore wrestling influence. Sometimes he would do chain wrestling. So his style was so innovative that, you know, my producer here, you are not so much a historian, but you have followed wrestling essentially your entire life, your entire childhood and adult life, followed it.
Yeah. Some of my childhood too.
When was the first time you saw Sabu? Like, do you remember what you saw, when you saw him and what you thought about him?
I saw early clips of him at the very end of the ICW promotion when he did work for his uncle briefly. Okay. And before that, they funked it. I know he was there for a minute, and I had saw clips early. I was like, who's that? And then I forgot about
him. So you saw him at the end, so like 1990?
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Like 80-something, because he started working in 85.
Yeah, so I saw some of the IC... And it was only clips I saw, because we didn't get ICW here, the Detroit promotion, when it was falling apart, basically, because of the cable system started in the local channel. It didn't carry on cable anymore, the one that carried that promotion. So... Yeah, and I saw clips of the early stuff, and I was like, who's that? And then I forgot about it. And then years later, you know, he's in ECW, and I'm like, oh, that's that one dude. Yeah. And I loved his style. I think he was one of my more entertaining. If I found a Sabu match, I was watching it.
Yeah. It was FMW, what I saw him in. It was 100. Probably, it was FMW. It had to have been. There was no other way, because it would have been a tour from 91, 92. So probably this was... it was probably 93, 94 that I saw a tape from him. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Just, there was nobody like him. There was nobody in professional wrestling that was like him. And I can't even tell you anybody, you know, talk about innovative styles, right? Who was influenced by him?
A lot.
A lot. A whole generation. A whole generation of wrestling was influenced by that style. And it didn't look clean. You know what I mean? It wasn't polished. It was so rough around the edges. His entire... I've never watched a fluidly perfect Sabu match. In the traditional sense, you know? Like, everything has to look... It was insanity. And it worked.
Ricochet,
and the inspiration,
right.
and the inspiration he's put out for a lot of wrestlers, that, you know, you don't have to look like a bodybuilder. You just got to look cool. And this dude looked cool in his Aladdin pants. You know, he had the scars all over him.
That was one of the big appealing things about him. It's like, this guy's been through it.
You know, the Born to be Wired commercial with the, here in New York, it aired on MSG on the Madison Square Garden Network at 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays, and you're half asleep. It's like 30 minutes into the show. Your eyes are kind of closing. Not that it's boring. It's late. And what do you hear? The Phantom of the Opera and Paul Heyman telling you that this match might be too extreme for ECW. You be the judge. And it's Sabu. Look, I'm getting goosebumps here. It's Sabu on the barbed wire. And he, you know, and I got that cassette. Okay. I got that VHS. And he's gluing his arm shut because it's bleeding. And he's covered. And him and Terry are wrapped in this barbed wire. It was. Do you remember the Faces of Death cassettes?
I never got this.
You never got them. Again, I had I had older cousins, so they all had those crazy things from the 90s. It was like that. It was like witnessing something that you're not supposed to see. This doesn't happen in wrestling. You know, again, I'm still a kid. You know, I don't have the back history of Onita and Terry Funk in Japan. I don't have that back history. I it really, out of all the wrestlers that have passed away, for me, my era of fandom as a teenager, there was nobody cooler than Sabu.
You know, and you think about Cactus Jack or Mick Foley. His career got heavily influenced, working with and just inspired by, Sabu.
And people, you look at his career and, he started off with his uncle. He was in every promotion. WWF, FMW, ECW, obviously. New Japan, WCW, Big Japan, Old Japan. He went back to ECW. He left ECW, went back to ECW, and then he did all the indies. He did TNA for some time. He had a great feud with Abyss. Very interesting stuff. Very interesting. What was your favorite Sabu match? Do you have one?
Honestly, I was trying to think of one.
I got one.
Can't think of one offhand.
I got one, and it's not him and Taz. Rob Van Dam and Sabu, tag champions, against Hayabusa and Shinsaki. Heat Wave 98. That is my favorite Sabu match. I regularly revisit that match. First time I saw Hayabusa, and I was like, who is this cool guy? I think we need to all just look back at this and say, what a great influence he put on professional wrestling. What a tremendous character that would not have existed anywhere else outside of where it did. It would have never existed in WWE. It would have never existed in WCW. I mean, he did it in WWE. He did it in WCW. We saw where that went. But rest in peace to Sabu. The homicidal, suicidal, genocidal one. Wrestling Observer Live. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Let's talk about SmackDown a little bit, because a big part of this was the controversy was Jeff Cobb and his new name. Last week, they introduced him as Jeff Cobb. They said, oh my gosh, that's Jeff Cobb. Not anymore. Solo Sikoa called him JC. His name is JC Mateo. Is he like a romantic? Why the Mateo? I'm curious. But this is the new Bloodline segment. This is whatever this is. Are they still Bloodline, or is this like a Bloodline adjacent team now?
Offshoot?
It's an offshoot. It's become its own thing. So Solo, Jacob Fatu, and JC Mateo, Jeff Cobb, enter the ring to kick off SmackDown. Solo says that Roman Reigns losing the title of WrestleMania ruined everything, and he was here to take it all back. It would start with Solo winning Money in the Bank and bringing the title back to where it belongs. The thing here is also that Jacob Fatu is getting fed up with Solo. And there's animosity there. There's jealousy from Solo. And I guess before Solo and Jacob Fatu face each other, it's probably going to be Jeff Cobb turning on Jacob Fatu. I'm interested in this. These are big boys. Jacob Fatu and Jeff Cobb seems like a tremendous match for me. LA Definitely. Knight comes out. They turn their attention to the stage, but Knight appears from the crowd. He attacks Cobb, but bailed through the crowd before he could kill him. So I guess that's the program. Jeff Cobb and LA Knight. Okay. I think that's a good first program for him.
We'll see how long it goes.
Yeah. Alexa Bliss defeated Chelsea Green and Mitchin. What do you think of Alexa Bliss coming back with this same kind of creepy girl thing?
But not really. It's kind of a hybrid of it.
It's a hybrid.
There's hints of it. It doesn't look like they're doing the Wyatt Six thing with her right now, at least. They're doing this weird thing with Charlotte. So she's the first to qualify for Money in the Bank. And a little later, you get down here.
Her and Charlotte have history because she ripped up the doll, remember?
Yes, but they haven't. She just said And they did that segment after. I guess we could just jump to it now. They did that segment after where Charlotte runs into her backstage, and apparently she wants to team up with Charlotte. And Charlotte's like, no, I don't want to. So I don't know.
Yeah. Fraxium, Axiom, and Nathan Frazier, people's top team right now in WWE. People are really into them. Yeah, absolutely. I know. You like them a lot. They're great. Defeated Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa DIY in 11 minutes.
You know what it is? Speed covers up a lot of the deficiencies, but they're so fast and their moves, and they can cover up other people's mistakes by just being so fast.
And this was a one-off, this tag team pairing that just happened to work.
Yep.
You know, this was not an established tag team. They were individual wrestlers, and they've become a pretty consistent tag team that people are really into. I mean, this is just proving their main roster positioning, beating DIY. I'm okay with this. I think more tag teams the better, and it seems like SmackDown has the most of these teams.
Yeah, they really rounded out the SmackDown tag division.
Do you think there's enough tag teams in this company that you need two titles at this point? Or I always felt that the tag title positioning should be one title. The tag title should be the tag title, and you just have a traveling team. You have people qualifying for challenges.
Well, it kind of works on the women's side, right?
It does work on the women's side, but the women's side doesn't have enough tag team women. They just put people together. WWE actually has plenty of tag teams.
So one thing, as far as the Raw side of things, I think it would behoove them to do more on main event every month or so, main event tag team match, title match on TV.
Yeah,
because that title seems to just dip down. You don't hear about
it. It's never consistent. That's the problem. Yeah. That's never. It always is. Oh my gosh, things are heating up in the tag division, and then it just goes nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or it takes like 3 weeks off. Yeah, they don't bring it up consistently.
R-Truth sits down with Wade Barrett. This was interesting. This was a serious R-Truth, and I like this. You know, they've always R-Truth for years has been doing this John Cena thing, his obsessive John Cena fandom, and Wade Barrett sits down with him with our truth, as my notes say. He sits down with our truth. He kept referencing Cena's catchphrases as a motivation. He also claimed that John Cena at the press conference put him through the table. It's not John Cena. He doesn't want to fight Cena, but he'll beat out whoever beat him out. He will beat it out of him, whoever this man is. He wants the real John Cena back. He's going to beat this imposter and have the real John Cena come out. It's set for Saturday night's main event. John Cena, R-Truth. Is this for the title? Did they announce it's a title match?
No, they haven't announced. I'm assuming it's not a non-title, because where R-Truth is positioned, does he really deserve a title shot?
You know what?
Who would be
against it being a title match? Nobody. Why not?
I wouldn't, but maybe it will be. I do. One thing, question I need to ask you is: do you think this kind of kills the mystique of the R-Truth gimmick? The idiot gimmick that he's been running for
no, because I think people realize it's like tongue in cheek. He's not really an idiot. Yeah. I think everybody knows he's not an idiot. He just acts like one. He pretends to be one.
Right.
Listen, even if he is an idiot, even idiots have moments of clarity. You know when my moment of clarity would be if the person that I very much look up to threw me through a table. I think that would be a moment of clarity. But interesting stuff. I'm kind of into this. I don't know. I've always liked R-Truth. He's worked so hard his whole career. He's been around for so long. He's done so much. This doesn't hurt anybody. I think this is a fun Saturday night's main event. Aleister Black defeated Carmelo Hayes via DQ. This went about 10 and a half minutes. So he's getting wins on TV.
Miz got involved. So
yeah, Miz got involved also. So that's a whole thing.
Took a black mask again. That's about it.
So Alexa Bliss runs into Charlotte backstage, like you were saying, and asks her if she thought about what they had discussed last week about teaming up. Charlotte would turn her down. Uh-oh. Where's this coming?
Something's going on there.
Something's happening. Julia would appear from Nick Aldis's office. He would introduce her as the newest member of SmackDown. So that was quick for Julia.
Yeah,
that was just a touch.
When she lost that match against Jordynne Grace, I thought that this is what was happening.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, because this was quick. Quicker than I thought.
So is Roxanne going to be on Raw? Announced on Raw?
I don't know. Possible. Very possible. But Julia's on SmackDown. Julia's fantastic. I think it's a good move to move her to the main roster than keeping
maybe
her in
this
NXT.
Is what maybe why they had Charlotte and Alexa there. Maybe this is going to be the new trio.
Maybe
that's where they're heading down the road.
Drew McIntyre cut a promo on Damian Priest, accepting the challenge for a steel cage match, a Saturday night's main event. There's nothing more WWF than these two big guys in a steel cage match on Saturday night's main event. Damian Priest also got honored by his name being, I guess, like a street renaming for the Bronx Hall of Fame.
That's pretty cool.
So, very, I mean, listen, for him, for a kid from the Bronx that, you know, started on the indies in tiny little American Legions and Knights of Columbus buildings that I have frequently been to see him wrestle, Elks Lodges, to go from that to Ring of Honor, to NXT, to the main roster, winning the title, having that tremendous match in Puerto Rico with Bad Bunny. This guy is a star. And good for him.
So one thing, amazing. I know they won't do it. Mm. I know they won't do it, but it's Saturday night's main event. It's a cage match. I really want the blue cage.
I know. You know, yesterday, I all over my YouTube, for some reason, it really wanted me to watch a Saturday night's main event where it was a steel cage match between a Big Boss Man and Hulk Hogan. Mm. And that's all that's popping up on my YouTube. And I sat there and I watched it, and Hogan starts the promo with the cage, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, that cage is incredible. But
I know, obviously it's not practical anymore to drag that thing around, and they'd have to build it on the spot, I think. So
yeah,
probably wouldn't work.
Solo Sikoa defeated Rey Fénix and Jimmy Uso. Who was Solo with? You're missing somebody here. He defeated Rey Fénix and Jimmy Uso.
It was a triple threat match.
Okay,
sorry.
Sounded like a handicap match to me. So Solo's getting pushed there. JC Mateo defeated LA Knight. This went 15 minutes. They give this some time. It's first match on TV. All right. Not bad.
Has he even spoken a word yet? I don't think so.
Maybe he grunted. And Tiffany Stratton defeated Nia to retain the women's championship. Overall, decent SmackDown. The 3 hours is part of the issue for me, because it was so late on Friday and I was watching this and I was going back and forth because I was also watching the Yankee game. So I had, you know, my phone and I had my tablet and I had this, and I'm like, oh my God, it's still on. And I just flipped to it and it was still on and it was nowhere near finishing. So the 3 hours is a little problem, but I think they'll be fine once they go back to 2 hours for this show. Just piecing things together for the Saturday night's main event that they're competing with AEW that weekend with Double or Nothing. So a lot of wrestling coming next weekend. We'll break down everything. Also, when we come back from break, AEW Collision, AEW Dynamite, I want to touch on that. I want to touch on what's coming up next week for Double or Nothing and a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live, we'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. I want to touch on a couple of things before we go into Collision, because a lot happened here on Dynamite. Man, that was a good Dynamite, huh?
I liked it a lot.
I was talking to somebody from there, and, you know, just the overall, I will tell you, the overall feeling is that momentum is shifting. From last year, you know, the end of 23 and all of 24 was still riddled in a lot of questions. Yes, you still had injuries happening. You still had a lot of the fallout from Punk and everything that happened. And they've gotten ahead of this. And I just hope that they keep the consistency with their TV, because it's been very good TV. Show opened up with Hangman Page, Will Ospreay defeating Takeshita and Josh Alexander. They did an amazing Hidden Blade Buckshot combo. that looked so brutal. It was so great. You also had Ricochet involved with Zach Gowen. I can't believe we're saying that.
In 2025.
And Zach looked great. I thought it was a lot of fun, that match. Listen, it's wacky, and Ricochet's getting over as this dastardly, disgusting heel that everybody hates. It's fantastic. Hurt Syndicate defeated Top Flight with the the worst hot tag I've ever seen in my life. They gave Hurt Syndicate gave MJF his answer. They made him think they were going to turn him down. Instead, Lashley said yes, but did he? We'll find out. Mina defeated Toni Storm, Sky Blue, and Azumi with via a small package on Toni Storm. Now, here was the controversy of this match, and this is what I wanted to bring up. On the fly, okay, so Mina came out to a terrible new theme. She did her dance. Everybody loves Mina's theme because it sounds exactly like another song. That was actually a song. I don't know the name. Do you know what I'm talking about, MG? No, you have no idea. You listen to weird
Not
music
really.
Over there in Detroit. You listen to stuff that I don't even think would be allowed on the radio. They went back to the... So enough people complained to Tony while the match was happening that they literally went back to the theme by the end of the match, and Tony posted like, oh yeah, we made a mistake. Sorry. We're not putting that song on anymore. I thought that was hysterical. Mercedes attacked Azumi afterwards. Azumi defeated Mercedes for the title for the New Japan Strong Women's Championship. So this is leading into that. Then Jamie Hayter would cut off Mercedes. Nigel had addresses FTR, so it seems like he's getting back in the ring here. Main event here. I'm going to skip ahead. The main event was Jon Moxley, Samoa Joe in a cage. Moxley was bleeding everywhere by the time we came back from commercial break. Claudio and Wheeler Yuta join Shafir outside as Willow. Then Willow comes out and Powerhouse Hobbs comes out to corner Joe. At the end of the match, Joe is going for a muscle buster. A guy in a hood who turned out to be Gabe Kidd gave the briefcase to Halliburton. Nothing has changed in wrestling, huh? The briefcase, the shoe, the phone, the belt. It's always been
this. I enjoyed this segment.
I did a lot, too.
There was a lot going on.
Somebody posted a picture of Gabe Kidd next to Jon Moxley, and Jon Moxley is like, you know, he's a little bigger than him, and he's bloody, and he's older, and it said the Pokemon evolution, the next stage of the evolution, because it kind of looks similar. I think Gabe being part of this is very interesting. I think it's a great way to really introduce him as this monster heel in that company. I think it'd be fantastic. I mean, we've seen what he's capable of. I mean, he's really good. Aftermath, the Bucks come out. They join in with the Death Riders beating up Joe. Powerhouse Hobbs comes in, chases off Gabe Kidd. Kenny Omega would run down to make the save. He managed to take out Wheeler Yuta. Then Okada attacks him from behind, hits him in the stomach, throws him into the ring. Matt Jackson has the controls to the cage. They're lowering it. They're raising it. Yeah.
So right there... I finally figured it out the other day when I was watching it. Matthew Jackson, he's so animated with his facial expressions and how he does things.
Yeah.
I find it funny in a weird way, but it works for his character.
It works. Yeah, it works. Speedball Mike Bailey comes in, chases away Okada. Willow chases off Marina. They're fighting. Claudio's helping Shafir throw Willow into a barricade. Here comes Swerve Strickland. He climbs the cage, dives off the cage. Then the cage is getting raised, and it became insanity. And this is setting up anarchy in the arena, Double or Nothing. They did a tremendous job at making you interested in this. You know, obviously they've been building the Death Rider stuff for a while. They've been kind of positioning everybody on certain sides, but this was really well done, and the ratings showed it. Numbers are growing, and they had a lot of people in that building, almost 5,000 people in that building. So, again, momentum shift, right? You're doing something different. You're doing something cooler than you were. I'm not getting excited yet, but I want to see this consistently happen. You know, we see this, and this was not hot shotting. This was not a hot shot show. You didn't do a title swap. You didn't, but the interest level was a lot higher. Collision last night. This had a lot of problems. Now, this was pre-taped. Megan Bain with Penelope Ford defeated Anna Jay with Harley Cameron. What did Harley do? Bite her butt? Anna's butt? Like, play the bongos? So. Something. Something's going on there. Kyle Fletcher with Don Callis defeated AR Fox. Good showing for Kyle Fletcher. He's getting bigger and bigger, huh? He's really trying to. He's growing, too. Do you know he's put on like three inches since last week? This guy is getting taller. I don't know how that's possible.
The Randy Orton effect.
The Randy Orton effect, yeah. Well, there's bigger. There's three Randy Ortons now. Mm-hmm. There's NXT Randy Orton. There's AEW Randy Orton. And there's the original Randy
Miles
Orton.
Bourne.
Yeah.
And they're all at different stages.
Actually,
right.
There's a fourth Randy Orton. Do you know who the fourth one was? The fake Randy Orton from SmackDown a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
Shawn Spears. Four Randys. You know, is this becoming like how many Jeff Hardys are in wrestling? Remember that in like 2008? How many Jeff Hardys were there on the indies? An uncountable number. An uncountable number.
If you're going to... If you're going to take after somebody and try to look like somebody, I think Randy Orton's a good choice.
Randy Orton's a very good choice. Very good choice. Handsome boy. Good physique. Brody King, Ishii, and Bandito defeated Lance Archer and Roppongi Vice, Trent Barreto and Rocky Romero. Remember, they're heels now. Speedball Mike Bailey defeated Blake Christian. So, at one point here, near the end of the show, it was around the 90-minute mark. The show ended. Okay? The Max Stream cut out. The Max Stream cut out, and the TBS cut to the next scheduled show, which is Black Adam with The Rock. I call... there's a conspiracy here.
I was thinking the same thing. I guess of all movies to be playing.
Of all the movies to play, it's Black Adam. Tony wrote... Dude, there was a problem in the studio transmission, and the rest of Collision wouldn't air on the East Coast, but would air in full for the West Coast, and it would be available on Max. I got a little info on this. I saw a little message. So I haven't checked on what people are reporting, but essentially what happened was the file was corrupted because it was pre-taped. So something must have happened either in... I guess in their download when the Max side downloaded this to air, or something happened in the conversion, something happened, and they lost part of the show, about 30 minutes of it, to air. I mean, you know, who do you blame? I don't know. If I was in charge, I would say. And how many times has this happened? How many times have we done a show where you have messed up, MG? Now I'm yelling at you. Where parts of the show are missing. Guess what happened? Last week on the show, we had a problem. Same exact thing. There was about 3.5 minutes of the show missing. You know what we did? We listened back to the show and caught the problem.
Yep.
Nobody watched. Nobody did a scrub on this. It happens. What are you going to do? But the show's available. If you want to catch out the rest of the show, you can. It should be posted by now.
I still haven't watched the main event. Full disclosure.
Yeah, which I'm going to get to now. I'll get to that now. So you had Mike Bailey and Blake Christian. The Learning Tree defeated the Gates of Agony. And the Sons of Texas, Sammy Guevara and Dustin Rhodes, defeated the Crew. Action Andretti and Leo Rush. I haven't seen the main event either. We'll see. Saturday night's main event, Saturday, May 24th. So far, we have World Heavyweight Champion Jey Uso defends against Logan Paul. I think they should put the title on Paul. I don't care what anybody says. What difference does it make?
You would be wrong.
You know, Kenny is not wrong. Everybody's laughing at that comment that he made, that if WWE could have their way, it would be Logan Paul versus Mr. Beast for the world title. That's exactly what they would do, and they should. They're a spectacle now. Don't look at it with traditional wrestling lenses on. That would be a huge match. Logan Paul versus Mr. Beast? Telling you. It doesn't make sense to any of us, including myself. Listen, I hate myself for saying this. I don't agree with that. I don't. I like traditional wrestling, okay? I just want people to know I'm not advocating for this. I'm just telling you how they think. I know how they think. I speak to many people there that I'm pretty close to. I know.
I think this is what they would want. This would get a lot of universal backlash.
No, it wouldn't. No, by whom? By whom? By us, yes. Yeah. By everybody listening to the show, yes. But they don't care about us. They don't care. They do not care what we think. You know who would love it?
Fair.
My son, all of his friends, every 12-year-old boy, every 14-year-old boy. Do you think there's a 12-year-old kid out there that is a WWE fan that says, I'm over this? They're breaking the traditional, time-honored tradition of professional wrestling, of not letting a non-wrestler in a position like this. No. It's about the most eyeballs and the most revenue now. That's all they care about. They had CM Punk on a UFC show with no MMA fighting experience, okay? Why do you think they did that? Why do you think UFC had CM Punk fight twice? Because it's a name. Yeah. It's a name. There's no difference from CM Punk going in the octagon and having a match on the pre-show. It wasn't on the pay-per-view, but there's no difference than having an actor that has a jiu-jitsu background and putting him in and using his name to draw. John Cena, R-Truth, non-title match. Drew McIntyre, Damian Priest, Steel Cage. CM Punk and Sami Zayn versus Seth Rollins and Braun Breaker. I hope Sami turns on Punk and that is the feud. I'm dying to see that match. I don't think it's ever happened. They've known each other for a very long time. That is the program I want to see. I don't want to see Seth Rollins and Punk again. I want to see Sami Zayn turn on him. Have Sami under Heyman. That alliance would be amazing. That would be great. Also, next week, we have Double or Nothing. We'll talk about that. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final segment of the show. Listen, don't get mad at me for telling you what they would definitely do if they had the opportunity. iShow Speed is all over that stupid show. I don't even know who he is. Who else is another one of Logan Paul's buddies? KRS-One? No, it's not K.
Yeah.
KRS-One, the rapper. It's the sound of the police. It's KRS-One.
My memories.
Yeah. I don't know. Double or Nothing next week. I can't wait for the show. Very excited. FTR versus Nigel McGuinness and Daniel Garcia. Nigel's return match again. Second time. Stretcher match. Ricochet versus Mark Briscoe. This is going to be a nutty match. Owen Hart Foundation Women's Tournament Finals. Mercedes Moné, Jamie Hayter. I expect Mercedes to take this. Will Ospreay, Hangman Page for the Men's Owen Hart Foundation. I'm going with Will Ospreay. I think the story's leading to him beating Moxley at All In to win that title. Big celebration. People go home happy. AEW Tag Team Champions, the Hurt Syndicate, defend against Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara. Defeat is how I feel is going to happen. AEW Women's World Champion, Toni Storm, defends against Mina. And we have
Anarchy in the Arena.
Anarchy in the Arena, which will take a big chunk of this. Looking forward to the show. Glendale, Arizona, not in Vegas. Different venue. Let's see what happens. I'm excited to see this man, this show. It's always good. Double or Nothings are always good. I have yet to encounter an AEW show, like a pay-per-view, that I'm like, not good. Maybe something during a pandemic early, you know? One of the early, like, I don't know, maybe Fight for the Fallen when that was a special or something. I don't know. Also, NW Women's Champion Kenzie Page defeated Natalya at the Crockett Cup the Crockett Cup 2025, and Natalya attacked a fan. Great stuff. Love it. Guys, we're out of time. We'll see you all next week. Wrestling Observer Live. Take care.